Obviously, we follow politics a lot. We've been following very closely the South Dakota Senate race as, you know, Republicans were having their primary recently, but there are a number of other candidates who are also running. And joining us this morning is a name that many will recognize. Former South Dakota Senator Larry Pressler is here. Larry, it's nice to finally get a chance to meet you in person and have you in studio.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here. And thank you for getting the word out on the U.S. Senate race, because it's kind of a complicated one this year. And also running as an independent, I get very little money from these big organizations. So I'm depending on word of mouth and citizens talking to one another also.
Let's talk a little bit about your decision to run as an independent. Obviously, you served in the Senate for a number of years as a Republican, running now for the seat that you had held previously. What made you make the change to independent?
I am running as an independent to try to end the poisonous deadlock between Republicans and Democrats in Washington that is causing our deficit to go higher and higher. I feel strongly that there's a unique opportunity for an independent United States senator from South Dakota at this point in history, because number one, I could bring my seniority back. I've had three terms of seniority, and that should be an asset for South Dakota. But number two, the Senate will probably be divided 52 to 48 or something like that, and an independent could have a great deal of power for South Dakota, as well as influence in reducing the deficit and do some other things. The present day atmosphere in Washington is everybody goes to Washington as a Republican or a Democrat, and they take all this huge amounts of PAC money and special interest money, and both of our Republican and Democrat candidates in South Dakota are taking it in the millions of dollars, and I am not. My campaign has raised less than $50,000, and it's out of people's pockets and my own pocket. So we have an extremely shoestring, low-budget campaign. But if I make it back to Washington, I will be free of those interests. I'm pledged to serve only one term should I be sent there, and I will not have to raise any money during that term because I won't be running for re-election. And I'll be able to devote 100% of my time to serving the people of South Dakota. Incumbent United States senators today spend about 52% of their time raising money for the next election. That is outrageous. So Washington has been drowned in this money from both sides, and the Democrats actually get more than the Republicans do, contrary to popular belief. But I felt that as an independent, and I'm seeking the support of Republicans and Democrats and independents. But I think our present party caucus structure in Washington is merely a conduit for money. It's not a conduit of new ideas, which it's supposed to be. So I'm going to bring some new ideas, and I have some ideas on how to balance the budget and in agriculture and across the board.
Well, let's talk about some of those. What are some of the things that, if you were to be elected to Washington, would be, what would your first priorities be?
All right, I would not join a caucus until I got a pledge to have a vote, an up or down vote, on reducing foreign military spending. Specifically, during the years I've been out of office, I've been mainly a professor and frequently a Fulbright professor in some on four continents, actually. And we did this from South Dakota. Harriet and I have always maintained our base here in South Dakota. But I took a contract by semester teaching. And I saw firsthand in northern Italy, we still have U.S. Army bases there, World War II style, and they're not combat ready. We should close those bases, relocate them back into the United States. One idea is to relocate them along our southern border to secure our border. I'm for immigration reform, but the first step is securing our border. We're about the only country in the world that doesn't have a secure border. Well, we say we can't do it. Well, we send troops all over the world to help other countries secure their borders. And also, I'm for getting out of Iraq lock, stock, and barrel, except for the embassy. I'm a Vietnam veteran, a genuine Vietnam combat veteran, of which you will not meet very many. And it is my strongest feeling that these wars overseas have been a waste of money and time. Iraq and Afghanistan we should pull our military troops out of there. Those countries are going to have to stand on their own. And we cannot be fighting all these civil wars around the world. We cannot police the world. That doesn't mean I'm an isolationist. We have to protect ourselves and defend where our vital American interest is. This is where I agree with the libertarians in the sense that I just don't think we can police the whole world. So that's one area that we would reduce the deficit and also enhance our own economy. There are a whole group of other areas. For example, I'm for, I'll be talking today at an agricultural meeting in Pierre on the subject of net neutrality for South Dakota farmers and for people in South Dakota. I believe strongly that net neutrality, that is in our internet, that some should not be able to buy a faster speed than others under the present setup, because that would hurt South Dakota. And I'm very much for good telecommunications and good cell phone, good computers, good internet quality broadband for our people in South Dakota. That's an issue I would fight for in the United States Senate.
It's something you have a lot of experience in as the former chair of the Senate committee.
Yes, I do, and I don't agree with everything that was in the 96 Act, by the way. I believe
have you taken a lot of knocks for that some?
Well, people who don't understand it. For example, I feel very strongly that we should not have totally deregulated cable. And Bill Clinton was for that. He went to the cable. Bill Clinton is a very corporate guy. He went to the cable convention in Las Vegas and came back and sent word through Al Gore that he wouldn't sign the bill unless it had total deregulation of cable. I feel our cable customers have been abused. They can't buy a la carte menus. They pay very high rates for programming, and our small cable companies have been treated very bad. I'm against the Time Warner Comcast merger that's now underway. I'm for antitrust legislation being enforced. I always have been. A lot of people, the whole ball of wax, they blame, of course, Al Gore took credit for the 96 Act, and fine, whoever takes credit for it. But there are a lot in that act that I didn't agree with, but overall it got us started on the internet, and we wouldn't have the internet, and it got fiber optic cable laid in South Dakota, so we got the internet in even small towns in South Dakota. We still have some to go, but so telecommunications, reasonable prices in cell phones, and not have dropped calls and so forth. Those are issues that I would work on in Washington, D.C. There's also just the issue of wages. We're a very low-income state for many people, and we have to work on that. I would also continue Obamacare at this point and fix it. I don't think we can repeal it. I think it's irresponsible to say repeal it, period, and then go out to the public and not suggest what would happen then. But our county commissioners, they tell me they want something like Obamacare so they can, when they send a little old lady to the hospital in another county and they get a $150,000 bill 6 months later, they need somebody to arbitrate that bill a little bit. And I suggest that maybe we could use cooperatives in delivering medical care service in South Dakota. So there are a whole host of issues that I want to work on in the Senate. I have the seniority. I can take my seniority back, and working as an independent, I could caucus either with the Republicans or the Democrats or as an independent. And with the Senate being closely divided, I could have a great deal of power. That doesn't mean that it would come automatically. You'd have to know what to do with it. And I do. I've been there 18 years already. So.
Minutes past 8, sunshine in 66, high today of 81. Welcome to the Greg Belfrich Show. Former Senator U.S. Larry Pressler is here. A former U.S. Senator, rather. Larry Pressler is here. He's running as an independent in this year's Senate race. And Larry, you were talking earlier about deciding who you would caucus with, and that you feel that as an independent voice in Washington, especially in the Senate, you could have a lot of power. How would you foresee that working as a lone voice when you are outside of the caucus?
Well, I would pattern myself on Senator Angus King, who is currently serving as an independent from Maine. He's a moderate senator and has been very effective in reaching some of the compromises that have reduced the deficit somewhat the past year. The U.S. Senate rules provide for independence. There have been 11 independent senators who served while I was there. Some that Lisa Murkowski was elected as an independent. Joe Lieberman served as an independent and said that he gained more power to represent Connecticut after he became an independent. So there have been several there. Now, an independent can caucus either as an independent or you can caucus with Republicans or Democrats. My model, Senator King, caucused with the Democrats the first time, but he's probably going to caucus for the next 2 years with the Republicans. But you have to be a little bit careful because the power doesn't come to you automatically. Wayne Morris of Oregon was an independent who switched back and forth and lost credibility with both sides. So I've been studying very carefully how to be a powerful and an effective independent United States senator for South Dakota. But the advantage that you have is that both sides want you and need you on different issues. It appears that we're going to have a closely divided Senate, probably 52 to 48 or 51 to 49, one way or the other. Probably the Republicans may well gain control this time. But it really doesn't matter who controls the Senate because both sides are locked into big spending so much. And that's where I think I could play a role in reducing that deficit. I think our number one problem is that huge deficit. Now, nobody else seems to agree with that, but I think we're going to come crashing down someday if we keep building it. Also, I am for some revenue enhancement, that is, a closing of some of the corporate loopholes, but also raising some taxes. And I know that's anathema, but Barry Goldwater used to say, if you vote for all the spending, you got to have the guts to vote for taxes to pay it. Otherwise, you're not a conservative. You're just a spender. And that's what that's what our Congress has become, a group of spenders. And then they go home and get rewarded for their spending of money that we don't have. So I think that I could make a real contribution as an independent. But I do support, I should give people notice, I will support increasing the rate of by about the income tax rate, but 2 or 3% on incomes above $1 million. And I would increase estate taxes by 2 or 3% on estates of above $10 million. That is because we've spent so much money that we've got to start. That would be an emergency type situation that we find ourselves in. Also, I happen to believe that every American should pay some income taxes, $5, even if somebody's on welfare. It comes out of their welfare check or somewhere. Everybody's got to feel responsibility. I'm of the old school. I was a volunteer for the military service, served about 4 years, served in combat in Vietnam. But I'm for a universal draft also, something a lot of people, when it really comes down to, they don't like very well. So I think that we've got to restore our fundamental responsibilities. I think we're losing our country. I guess you'd say that I'm an older man, but I'm very vigorous. And if any of my youthful opponents want to have a 5-mile race with me any morning, I will meet them for that 5-mile race.
You certainly look like you're up to it.
Well, I am this morning.
From what I've seen this morning, absolutely.
but I am ready to go to work for the people of South Dakota. I've got the seniority to take back, and I could have unusual power as an independent for the state of South Dakota. Now, South Dakota also needs a senator besides just on the deficit, things like air service. Our air service from Chicago to Sioux Falls is terrible. The rates are extremely high and erratic. The flights are erratic. People are packed together without notice when flights are going to be canceled. And the same thing has happened from Denver into Rapid City. When I was in the Senate, I used to work with George McGovern. We'd meet with the big airlines and say, treat our passengers fair and well in rates into South Dakota, and we will try to help you out with your international routes over in Japan and so forth. But our congressional delegation doesn't even meet, I don't think, on South Dakota issues, rail transportation issues, lots of issues that do not involve more federal spending, but just involve the way big companies treat our tiny little state here. And so those are some things that, tiny in population, but not in geography. But those are some things that I want to work on and I could work on those things better as an independent because I could go to both sides. You know, we are so polarized, Republicans and Democrats, all these debates you hear, it doesn't, for example, Obamacare. We needed something. Had Romney won the election, let's imagine, it would be called Romneycare, and it would be almost the same thing. And then all the Republicans would be for it, and all the Democrats would be arguing against it. That's the level our political debate has sunk to. It's merely whether it's a Republican idea or a Democratic idea, and then everybody goes through these big gyrations in debate, and the real issues, the real meaty things that you would grade in a college paper are never discussed. Issues in this U.S. Senate race are not being discussed. I don't hear any debate on issues. The things I've been talking about this morning, you won't hear in the Senate race, except if you happen to hear me, because it's not issues. It's all advertising and fundraising.
Well, let's as we look at the other candidates, because you'll be facing Democrat Rick Wyland, Republican Mike Rounds, also independent Gordon Howey, who is also running. What are the things in your mind that distinguish you most from these other candidates?
The thing that distinguishes me most from the Republican and Democratic candidates is that I am not and have not accepted these huge amounts of, I've raised less than $50,000. They're both well into the millions, and they take all this out-of-state PAC money. They will be bound in their caucus. They can make speeches otherwise, but that's the problem. If you send a traditional Republican or Democrat, they have to join this huge march of big spending in Washington, the same old practices, no issues. It's just getting money for special interest groups. Republican senators in particular vote for corporate welfare. Now, we've had the Farm Bill. That's a corporate welfare bill. And I would have voted against that, very frankly, because I don't think I don't think our farmers need it. And number two, our farmers get very little out of it. And number three, it hurts us in international trade because agriculture has now become a subsidized industry. And the farm products will be able to come into the United States easier from other countries. I just met with the sheep growers in western South Dakota, and the lights have come on, and they see the Pan-Pacific Trade Agreement coming, and that's going to hurt them, but that wouldn't be possible if it weren't for the passage of a subsidized industry farm bill that farmers don't get hardly anything from. It's mostly for the corporate parts of it. The sugar growers get a lot. The cotton guys, they still get 50% of the cotton prices are federal subsidies, and that just is insanity in terms of trying to control the federal budget. So there's plenty to start right here at home, and it seems though that nobody wants to discuss these issues. So even if I should run and lose, and I'm running an idealistic race based on issues, but even if I should lose, I hope I will bring more issues discussions to the U.S. Senate debate this year.
What's the reaction been from people who, obviously, many voters know you. You got a long history of service to the state. So you got a lot of voters that know you, a lot of Republicans who have in the past who have voted for you. What kind of response are you getting as you're out and talking to people across the state?
Well, I've been getting a good response, but the problem is everybody says to me, I'm so glad you're running. I'm going to vote for you, but they don't give me any money. Now, independents are wonderful people, and it isn't just independent, but I'm seeking the support of Republicans who have supported me in the past, Democrats who have supported me in the past. But there's also a lot of new people in South Dakota, a lot of young people who have come of age, and there's a lot of people who moved into our state and moved out of our state. And a lot of my old supporters, very frankly, have retired to Arizona or so, or someplace. When I send my lists out, I get them back that they have gone somewhere. So I've been getting a good response, but it's been one-on-one, and it's very hard to spread the message unless you can really buy a lot of advertising, which I probably will not be able to do.
It is 8:34, yep. And former Senator Larry Pressler is here, 66 currently in Sioux Falls. Obviously, there's concern among some Republicans that you may be a spoiler maybe a little bit in this in this election, that some of the votes that you may win would be Republican votes that otherwise might go to Mike Rounds.
Well, I don't agree with that. I want to spoil the poisonous system between Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C. Now, I would make a plea to those of you in the news media. An independent candidate is a legitimate candidate for the U.S. Senate. People say to me, you're a spoiler. Well, why isn't the Republican candidate a spoiler for me or the Democratic candidate? Just as much. We're on the same playing field. Or they will say, you're a wild card or something like that. Well, why isn't the Democratic candidate a wild card or some other independent this or that? So those are terms that I think we're going to enter an era. I think the time will come in the near future that we're going to elect a few more independents to the Senate that'll break this deadlock we're in and will wake the parties up. But something has got to happen to end this cycle of huge spending in elections and then huge spending in Washington following it, because that's what's going on. The special interests are voting, are giving people money, so they will then vote them money. And this cycle has got to come crashing down, or our whole economy will come crashing down because of the huge deficit we're building up with it. It's wasteful spending, and we're going to have to increase taxes to pay for it at some point, because our money system will demand it. And our politicians have to be honest enough to say that. We just can't keep going down the path we're going. Now, in terms of foreign military spending, I am in disagreement with President Obama's sending even a small number of troops back into Iraq. We should get out of Iraq lock, stock, and barrel. And the same thing is true in Afghanistan. We were supposed to just go in and do what we're going to do and then get out. But we've got to stop this practice of stationing troops in foreign countries where there are civil wars. They go on and on and on. And but our military industrial state, as Eisenhower predicted, has become so powerful that it likes all these wars. It likes selling all these weapons. It likes having a big Pentagon. All these generals over there in the Pentagon, of which we have a huge number, they have a vested interest in all these wars going on and on. And I would be a powerful voice as a Vietnam veteran. I think I legitimately can say that I think my time in Vietnam was wasted, and tragically, and so was, but much more so, the lives and blood of a lot of other people.
As you mentioned, the president, I know you've been a supporter of the president, so you've endorsed the president through two elections. He's been, we talk about polarizing, the president's been, for a lot of people, feel him to be a very polarizing figure. And I know I've heard frustration from people, your support for the president. How do you, what would you say to people who will look at you as an independent?
Well,
you know,
yes.
We talk about being an independent, but then they view the president as being quite the liberal Democrat.
Well, I supported Barack Obama for conservative reasons. I'm now an independent-minded voter, and I'm not obligated to vote just for all Republicans and all Democrats. And on a given day, when Barack Obama first ran, he said he was going to get our troops out of these foreign countries, and especially out of Iraq. And he has failed to do that. I've been disappointed him in many areas. You can vote for somebody and not agree with everything that they do. The same thing is true on fiscal matters. Barack Obama sounded much more like he was going to enforce antitrust. I feel that Mitt Romney, actually, his RomneyCare was more bureaucratic than Obamacare. And nobody ever seems to say that or mention that. I actually felt that from my studying of it, that Obamacare had the potential of being more conservative and keep more free enterprise within it than RomneyCare would have. So the point I'm making is, if the Republicans put up people who are bigger spenders on the national level, then a conservative Republican might well vote for the Democrat. Republican presidents have had higher deficits than Democratic presidents. Why is that? Republican senators vote for higher deficits than Democrats do. That's the opposite of what most people believe. But I've been there. I can assure you that that's true. Republican senators are under pressure to vote for all corporate welfare, ranging from the farm bill, and then every industry's got something just like that, the aviation industry, the rail industry. They've all got a corporate welfare bill. And Republican senators take the lead on supporting those, more so than Democrats do. Also, Republican senators vote for unlimited military spending anywhere in the world. Most of them are neocons. That is, they think we should project American power out everywhere. I tend to agree with Ron Paul and the libertarians that we need to have a strong national defense, but we cannot be fighting in every country in the world. And Republican senators will not support any revenue enhancement or that is closing of loopholes. You know, when they talk about no new tax pledge that Republicans take in some form or another, they're really talking about not changing the tax code. I'm for tax reform. I'd like to move towards a flat tax, but that would mean we'd have to give up our deductions. And frequently politicians are not honest with people in talking about taxes. They'll tell them, aha, we can have a flat rate tax, but you have to give up your deduction for your church, for your this, that. Oh, I didn't mean that. I want to keep the church one. Oh, well, wait a minute. I didn't mean my home deduction. I didn't mean that. And then pretty soon we're back in the soup again. So there's very little honest discussion about tax reform. And I'm for tax reform. And I'm telling people right now that all of our taxes are going to have to be raised because of this deficit in the next 5 to 10 years, whether we like it or not, whether we have Republicans or Democrats. And Larry Pressler may well be dead and gone, but it's going to happen. Number two, we should raise taxes on the very wealthy. I don't mean, I'm not against the very wealthy, but 2 or 3% would on incomes over $1 million a year would just raise billions of dollars and help us with the deficit. We've spent the money. As Barry Goldwater says, if you're a true conservative and you vote to spend the money, you better have the guts to vote to raise the taxes to pay for it. And when you start to have to do that, you'll be a lot more careful about what you vote to spend.
Former Senator Larry Pressler has been our guest. Larry, for people who want more information about your campaign, what can they do?
They can, it's LarryPressler.com. Just www.LarryPressler.com. My phone number's there, and there's all kinds of propaganda about me. And they can send a contribution, if they wish, by pushing a button right there. LarryPressler.com.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate having you.